Wake up call!
This is Wake Up Call,
another kind of daytime radio program.
A Gal Media property. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Wake up!
And a good Friday to you. Wake up call. It is SB Nation Radio. Oregon, the state, not the school. Oregon. And their governor, Kate Brown, says, it looks like sports won't be able to take place in our state until at least October with fans in the stands. So that begs the question, what does college football going to do in that state? There are two things that it can do. If you're Oregon and you're Oregon State, and we have obviously some other schools, you know, some of the smaller schools, a lot of the schools in the state will comply, right? They'll just say, well, we want to have the athletic games, so we'll just have the athletic games without any fans. But we also know, as we've talked about many times before, college football is different in its business model. They do need ticket sales. They are going to need the revenue that comes from having people in the stands. And that could be 25, 30, 50, 60%, whatever capacity we feel more comfortable with as that time draws near. But Oregon has a couple of games on their schedule that are important to them in the month of September, and their home games at Autzen Stadium. North Dakota State is a big game. It's going to open up the season, but it's one of the opening games, right, that you're going to have. That, push that aside for a second. They've got a game against Ohio State on September 12th. It's going to be the biggest deal that they've got on their current schedule. Now, if you are Oregon, do you comply with this governor's decision, or at least thought, and say, we're going to play the Ohio State game with nobody in the stands? Or do you move this to a neutral site outside of the state, in a state where they're going to allow 30, 40% of the fans to attend the game and get some sort of revenue from that? Now, you may have to split it with Ohio State, but you're going to start seeing this kind of decision-making by athletic directors because of the importance of having some sort of revenue coming from people actually attending your games. And if Oregon can't have games without fans for the first month, what if it's extended to 2 months or 3 months? To pay attention to how many of these states are going to be talking about this, about what the fall is going to look like. The NFL could absolutely say, no, that's okay, we're good, we'll have nobody in the stands, we're fine. But college athletics are going to have a decision to make about what they're going to do with that loss of potential revenue, even if it's very small at 30%.
You're listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It's SB Nation Radio. Give us a buzz at 800-224-2004 on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. And don't forget, like us on Facebook, our new Facebook page, where you can catch clips of the show. You can catch whole hours where we post them up after the show is up, so you can find us there. All right, so again, the situation in Oregon is going to be very similar to other states around the country in terms of what you can do in terms of gatherings. I mean, governors are saying, I'm not going to have any gatherings until November or October or September, and that's going to affect sports in some way. And on the surface, this is not a huge deal because a lot of these sports were planning on coming back without any fans in the stands anyway, right? I mean, there's just the most, I mean, NFL is fine with it. Golf is already doing that, and other sports are already saying, "Look, we won't have fans." Look, they're going to run NASCAR races with no fans in stands. All right, they're just going to. You can social distance pretty well at a NASCAR event. I mean, this you can cut the ticket sales by, you know, in half, and you can really spread out at a track. I mean, let's say 35%. You could spread out at a racetrack, but they're going to do it with no. Why take the chance? So you're going to have these states that are going to say, all right, can't have gatherings. And then these colleges are going to go, oh boy, what are we going to do? That big Ohio State game, I would move it if I could. I don't know if you can. I don't know the logistics of taking a game and finding a neutral site. Do you have to, can you do it quickly?
But where would they go?
Yeah, that's a good question. Where would you go?
I mean, would you go to Idaho?
Could you go to Vegas? Could that stadium be used if the Raiders aren't using it that weekend?
Yeah, but I mean, the whole point of having Ohio State come to your house is because you went to theirs.
Right, exactly. So you wouldn't keep you wouldn't give Ohio State any of the money. Like, you could just go, but again, now you're asking, you're going to take your team to another place to then go to another place where 20-25% might be allowed in. Is that worth it? Like, it's not like it, like, let's say Autzen Stadium was like, I don't know, like the whole state was shut down for something, just the state, and you could take it to another location and fill the stadium. Okay, that would be okay. I get that. But you're not going to fill the stadium if you take it on the road. Like, I saw one person on Twitter talking about this, saying, you know, they should move the game to a neutral site in another state to show her the revenue loss. Well, what revenue loss? At most, they're going to let 50% in. I cannot see 65-75% stadium capacity in September. Right. But again, I'm not an epidemiologist, so I have no idea. But I'm just thinking my own mind, the way we are right now, I'd be blown away if anybody's putting in over 50% of the fans in football stadiums come the fall. So what revenue, like what massive revenue is going to make the governor go, oh my God, really? I should have known better. Like, you're not saying anything. She I'm assuming she knows that she's what she's doing to Oregon State and Oregon and possibly the Portland Trailblazers. Right? I'm sure she's aware, but you're not showcasing that. You're going to take it on the road to a neutral site so you can have a fourth capacity at whatever neutral site. And for that neutral site, is it worth it? For that neutral site, is it like, oh no, we can't wait to have 10,000 people fill our 70,000 seat football stadium for Ohio State and Oregon in a state where we might have a few fans living here that like both teams, but it's not, you know, we can't fill it up. It's not like people are going to descend on Vegas to go to this game. I mean, they're not going to allow 70,000 people to watch it. You're not going to Jerry's crib or Los Angeles or anything. Like, what's the point?
See, I can't go. The whole point in, like, when you schedule these games, because we joke about it all the time that these teams have scheduled games when they're probably not even going to be relevant. You know, yeah. You know, all the way until like 2030, 2036. Yeah,
way in advance. And you're right. The idea is that
it's a moneymaker.
Yeah. You go there, you come here, we go there.
You know, and I'm certain that there's Oregon alumni all across the United States, especially on the West Coast.
And especially Ohio State. Ohio State's, you know, they got pockets of
everywhere. Everyone's planning on traveling to this game. You know, they have their tickets, they have hotels booked. They you know, they've been planning on this for years now. It's a bold statement by the Ohio or Oregon governor, but at the same time, I guess it's the reality we live in.
I guess so. It seems a little far out to be making a proclamation about that in early May. That's what I don't understand. Look, I understand you want to give some organizations time to prepare, but we are in a status right now where you don't have to say, hey, 3 months from now, 4 months from now, I'm banning all social gatherings.
Right.
Like, you can chill for a little bit and just let these organizations. If I had, let's say I had a big convention planned, right? And I had a big convention planned way in advance, and then COVID-19 hit. Or maybe not a big convention. Let me put it this way, a wedding. Okay, let's say I had a big wedding planned in Oregon. And I know this was going to fall in some social, it's going to fall within the guidelines of a large group that would be banned. You don't have to tell me in May that I have to start making arrangements. You can tell me later. I can work with the people in my, I can tell the people in my group, hey, you know what? We don't know what it's going to be like. So be on standby if you're coming out to the wedding. Like, you don't need to tell us it 4 months in advance that you're going to, that this is shut down, because we don't know if it's shut down. And we're not talking about, again, we are not talking about an Oregon football game that's going to have 70,000 people, whatever Autzen Stadium holds, because I know it's not one of the huge stadiums in college football, but whatever Autzen Stadium holds, 68,000, 70,000, whatever it is. We're not talking about full capacity. that you have to be scared of. We're talking about social distance of 30% capacity with all the cautions that you're looking for. So I don't think the governor needs to be making that. Again, she's probably looking at it like, I can't let Oregon football play and let all these other things go down in the state. Like, that wouldn't be right. Like, I can't tell the 400-person wedding that they got to cancel or rearrange their deck chairs and let Oregon play football. But Oregon playing football can be done in a way where you can let certain amount of people in, space them out within the stadium, and it'll be fine. It'll be okay. What if everybody coming in is wearing a mask, sitting every third seat in the stadium? You know, are you gonna shut that down? Right? I mean, and it really, to be honest with you, it doesn't even matter that they're playing Ohio State, but it kind of does. Like, that's a gigantic game.
I mean, you know, it's not, like you said before, like the week before, what, they're playing North Dakota State?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a fun game, big game.
It's a home opener and everything.
But it's not Ohio State. It's not, number three in the country?
Is North Dakota, is North Dakota State the good school from FCS? Is that the really good one? Or is it the other one?
I think it's the other one.
Shouldn't I know this?
Probably not. I think it's University of North Dakota.
North Dakota State. Let me check this out.
Which one's the Bison?
They're the Bisons.
Okay, so that's the good one.
Forgive me, North Dakota. I'm so sorry.
We sometimes forget that you're even up there.
That's right. Okay, so that's a big deal.
That is a big deal. That's a good game. That's a good tune-up game.
I don't know. They're many-time champions.
Yeah, no, I'm saying that. I mean, yeah, it's not. I'm not calling it a cupcake.
Right.
It's a good tune-up game because I do believe Ohio State's going to be a much better matchup than North Dakota.
Absolutely,
North Dakota State. Right.
North Dakota.
State. I already forgot.
This is the claimed national champions for the Bisons are 2011, 12, 13, 14, 15, 17, 18, and 19.
What happened in 16?
I know. That's what I want to know. So this is like remember when Appalachian State beat Michigan?
Yeah.
So I will never forget a friend of mine. He's like, we really shouldn't be surprised. Appalachian State is a Division II champion, a 1AA champion. And I go, no, I don't care. This is a big surprise. They just beat the fifth ranked team in the country. I don't care what they did in Division I, AA, whatever you want to call it. I couldn't care less if they haven't lost a game in 5 years. Beating Michigan at Michigan is a big deal. North Dakota State might give Oregon a fun first half, but I don't think they'll. I mean, that's a good team. Like they did have some really good players, but, you know, it's Oregon. Oregon should still be rolling along one of the top programs in the country.
It's a decent team, but that's why I'm saying it's a good matchup, a good warm-up matchup for Oregon because it's going to get their competitive juices flowing.
That's right. Don't at me, by the way, on that. I really believe it.
The Bison.
The Bison. We just figured out who they were, and now we like them.
Yeah, we just had a – is there a University of North Dakota? I'm just curious.
Yes, there is. They used to be the – I think the Fighting Sioux, and then they went without a name because they got rid of it. A big hockey program, really good hockey program.
Okay, that's all right.
Yeah, North Dakota State plays at the Fargo Dome. That's pretty cool. 19,000 capacity.
Oh, so, you betcha.
North Dakota. But the Ohio State game, you know, that's the one you want to.
That's the one you circled on your calendar.
Yeah, exactly. It's a beautiful.
But I look at it with. It's kind of unfair because Ohio State will probably – is this their first time around or second time?
What do you mean?
Did they play last year?
I believe they did.
So Ohio State got their home game.
I'll have to check, but I think they did. But, yeah, so it's – but, I mean, again, if I'm Oregon, I'm kind of going, Governor, can you slow down just a little – a second?
3 months.
It's May.
3 months is way out there.
It's May. Can you just chill?
I mean, you know what it reminds me of? It kind of reminds me of your credit score. It's so easy to knock it down, but impossible to get it back up. And that's what I feel like with sports. It was like one day we just said, no more sports. They're all done.
Right.
And then we've just been sitting here limping along like, OK, Can we do it then? No, we can't do it then. We can't have fans in the stands. Well, okay, maybe you can have fans in the stands, but maybe only like two.
Right.
Yeah, and it's just been slow. I mean, when is the point to where we can have a sellout crowd in the stadium again?
Yeah, that's what I keep wondering. That's what I keep thinking.
Yeah, that's why it's a credit score.
Yeah. By the way, I looked at Oregon's schedule. They did not play Ohio State last year.
Okay, well, they're going to.
No, they're going to now.
And so Ohio State will get their horseshoe game, and Oregon will not.
Yep, they got these. Oregon will open up the season with three straight home games, North Dakota State, Ohio State, and Hawaii. And so those are the games within the September window that the governor is saying you can't have any fans, any gatherings.
Well, then I
make you can't play the game. You can play the game, but you can't. I don't know what this ruling is. Like when she talks about gatherings of people, what is the number? Because again, each team has like 100 people on a roster plus the traveling circus that goes with it. So how, you know, what would that be under the rule or not? If you say, well, it's going to be about 200 people on the field in terms of players, trainers, coaches, et cetera. Does she go, well, that falls in the guidelines. So you can't have that. You're not canceling Oregon, Ohio State, even if nobody's in attendance.
Well, if I'm Oregon, I'm making phone calls. I'm saying, hey, absolutely. North Dakota State, we're going to do you a favor. We'll come to your building.
Well, how about this? You just make one phone call. You call Phil Knight, and you have Phil Knight call the governor.
Oh, there right? you go. You
is
can
that
do
what
that.
You do? Is that
but
what, you
what
do?
I was going to say is you call Hawaii and say, hey, we'll come to you.
Yeah, we'll go to you. We'll go on a fun island of yours
yeah,
and have a good time.
I have no idea what Oregon is like in September.
Right.
I can't imagine it being better than Hawaii.
Exactly.
All any right. time of the year.
Good, the bad, and the dumb that's coming up this hour. Again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. Ron with two N's, please, if you hit him up with that on SB Nation Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we'll get more to the NFL schedule release coming up later. Good, the bad, and the dumb coming up this hour as well. Glad you could be with us here on Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio. O'Reilly Auto Parts will help make your auto repair, maintenance, and restoration projects easier. So when your car isn't stopping like it used to, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the parts and supplies you need to do the job right the first time. Now for a limited time, save 15% when you buy any set of Brake Best pads and two Brake Best rotors. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Robert makes a good point on Twitter. The cupcake games are big money makers, especially for the losing team isn't 25% of the gate. Go to the visiting team. Western Michigan versus UM at the Big House is a haul for the Broncos. That's true. One of the reasons you go to these places is because they cut you a check. And usually that is in a contract that you sign. What does that mean? What will the contract be like for these schools if they do indeed travel all the way out to these big name programs and the money isn't there, the revenue isn't there to pay you the $1 million that you need for the rest of your revenue for your athletic budget? That's one of the, listen, people talk about this all the time, and this is an old argument, but it's always brought up every single year, right? Which is, oh, they, you know, Alabama shouldn't be playing East Tennessee State, or they shouldn't be playing, you know, Auburn shouldn't be playing this school. But you know what? You need a little bit of a break. One, you know, if you're playing a conference schedule that runs deep, you do need a little bit of a break every now and then. But the second thing is, it's really important to the Chattanoogas of the world and to the, you know, to the ETSUs of the world that they go play a big time program, because the revenue that is generated really does help the athletic department in such a way. Look, if you go play golf at a small school, a Division II school, let's say, that has a football team, You're not taking flights to Hawaii to play in a major tournament. You're usually busing around your region. But you know what? You need to pay for that. And the football team helps provide to pay for that. You know, if you're on the track at, you know, Lincoln Memorial here in Harrogate, Tennessee, how do you generate any money? It comes from the money, the revenue sports that generate that kind of that revenue in some capacity. Right, so if you have a football team in FCS, how you help out your athletic budget is when, you know, Oregon comes calling and offers you $900,000 to come play and lose 58-10. And you go there and you get to play in a big time stadium and you can get on TV and, you know, get an experience for your kids. But you also make a lot of money. Look, when I was living in Charleston, South Carolina, one year, Charleston Southern is a small school, but they have a football team and they went to play Florida. And this is not, you know, Florida struggled Florida like a couple of years ago. This was Tim Tebow national championship, good Urban Meyer Florida. And, you know, we were talking about how, you know, how they were going to get killed and et cetera. But the coach was like, wait a minute, you guys are missing the larger picture here. One, they're paying us a lot of money. But two, my guys, the guys I recruit, they don't get to play in front of 90,000 people. They don't get to be on TV. They don't get to hear that kind. Even if they're an opponent, even if they're the opposition, they don't get to experience that. They play in front. They play for the most part in glorified high school stadiums, and a lot of times in front of alumni, family, and friends. And that's it, right? That's it. Maybe a couple of hundred people, a couple of thousand people, and that's it. And for a kid who's like, I'm playing college ball. I was not good enough to play at that division, but you know what? So what if I lose 70-3? I'm in the swamp. I'm playing at this stadium, this grand stadium. I'm in this locker room. I'm on this field. This is great. I'm on television. And you're right. And what else comes with it? A check. And it comes with a check that helps the football team with better equipment. It helps the track team. It helps the basketball team. It helps whatever other revenue that the other athletic departments can. That's a great point. I'm really curious if that's going to play out, especially in the SEC, where they like to dole out that like candy. Yeah, come play tennis. Come play us here in Knoxville. You know, come play us here at Neyland Stadium. You'll get $1 million. You'll lose, but you'll get $1 million.
Yeah.
Now you go to the game. You're the school that's got that on your schedule. You go to the game and Tennessee goes, well, unfortunately, we did not make even close to $1 million here. We can't possibly write that check. It's in the contract. Does the contracts have to be reworked? Or is the contract is there contingencies in the contract?
Is there a pandemic clause in the contract?
I gotta think that these schools have lawyered up pretty well.
Well,
right?
I mean, okay, consider say a school like Tulane or a school in Florida. You know there's a bad weather addendum in there.
Yeah.
You know, because in September you still are dealing with hurricanes.
That's right.
If the game gets moved or canceled, there's gotta be a school from, say, it's Central Florida.
Okay.
You know, and they're hosting Michigan.
Right.
There's got to be somewhere in there where it says, hey, you know, if in case of a hurricane and the game gets canceled or moved or whatever, you know, maybe it's not 25% of the proceeds. Maybe it's like 5%.
Okay, but that is a outright cancellation of the game. What if you actually go and play?
Yeah.
So what if you go? What if you're like, we showed up, we hit the field, we played 60 minutes of football, you beat us 58-0, give me my money.
I would think that there's nothing in the contract because we've never dealt with any of this, unless somebody looked back and go, well, in 1918 during the Spanish flu,
yeah,
this happened. So it's always been in the contract, like one of those state blue laws. Like, you can't ride a bicycle in California in a pool or something like that.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Something stupid, or you can't peel an orange in a hotel room in California.
Yeah, it's good. Now, a couple of years ago, Idaho, Florida was playing, I think, Eastern Michigan or Idaho. I got to look it up. But there was a lightning storm, all right? And it was a bad lightning storm. And it was ripping Gainesville to pieces. And the game just got canceled. Like, they tried to play it. They were on the field. The lightning came. And eventually, they just were like, we're not going to be able to hit the field till Sunday morning. So, but I think because Florida was like in a position of like, well, we're going to have sold out crowds down the road and don't worry about it. I think they gave the money anyway. And they just said, here's the money we promised you. And goodbye. But I think a game, there was a hurricane that got canceled. And I think because there's funds, there's money for it, even if you lose a game. But I'm curious when you go, yeah, we're anticipating hardly any revenue at all from this football season, whether or not you still write the check. Good, the bad, and the dumb coming up next.
Wake Up Call continues now. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good, the bad, and the dumb on a Friday. We'd like to leave you into the weekend with a good note, a really good note. But I don't know if we're going to leave you with a good note. We'll just have to get with Ron to find out.
We'll leave with a good note.
All right. But, I mean, is it a good note?
Well, let's see. Let's start off with the good of the day, May 24th, the match.
Yes, the match.
Part two, I guess. Excited. I don't know. If you don't know what we're talking about, Phil, Tiger, Brady, Manning. Are going to be playing against each other in a golf tournament.
Do we know the broadcast details of this bad boy?
No, we do not.
Okay.
They picked the date. They picked the course, which is Tiger Woods' home course. So,
of course.
Home course advantage.
Can't do it at the Bridges at Rancho Santa Fe?
You probably could.
All right.
But I guess, I'll play some sound.
Okay, let's hear it.
The first one is Phil Mickelson trying to roast Tiger, and then Tiger immediately getting him back.
Good. All right, I'm going to jump in here while we get that set up. They've trash talked each other before, haven't they?
Yeah, you know what? That was user error. I should have put up the. I had it in queue, so I'm listening to it. I'm like, oh, I'm enjoying this. It's really what it is. It was just a party of one right there.
All right, do we got it queued up again?
Yeah, you know what? If I turn the sound up on it.
First of all, you should
probably hear it too.
Hold on 1 second. Before you do that, let's just rewind and reset. You ready?
Oh man!
Here we go.
Should I just play the intro again too?
I got this. Hold on 1 second. Oh, we got some audio of Phil ripping Tiger?
Yeah, and Tiger immediately getting him back.
Tiger's pretty familiar with this. Obviously, when you were putting the jacket on me, it fit perfect. Thank you. And then this is the trophy for the match. I don't know, actually, Tiger, if you know what this looks like. You might have caught a glimpse, but that's actually what the trophy looks like had you have won.
Understood. Hold on 1 second. I just got an ice bath. I'm a little bit chilly. Green jacket on here.
Well played, sir. Well played.
So what happened there was Phil was showing the match trophy and, you know, telling Tiger, like, I don't know if you ever saw this, but this is the – remember when we had the match? I won this trophy.
That's right. And $9 million or 90,000 of these.
And he had also shown a picture of when Tiger was putting the green jacket onto Phil, to which Tiger then replied, I'm a little chilly. I just got out of an ice bath. Hold on. And Tiger grabs his current green jacket.
And let me just say this. This is a big deal because Tiger gets to take that jacket home as the reigning Masters champion.
Yes.
After you win the Masters and somebody else wins it, all jackets have to be at Augusta National. Phil does not have his on property.
No.
He has them at Augusta.
And in fact, this might be the longest one person has held the jacket.
That's right.
Good point. Tiger's not giving it up until November.
Yeah, that's right. One with one win. If you've had back-to-back wins, you'd get it. But because in terms of the one championship holding it, that's right. Go to November. Good.
So, and then Tiger, you know, sits back in his chair, puts the green jacket over him like a blanket.
Yeah, good job.
It was a nice little turnaround. The second one is Manning explaining why they're having to play in Florida.
Ernie, the course, you know, the tournament had to be in Florida. You know, after Tom's B&E arrest, with the ankle monitor, he couldn't leave the state. So it had to be in Florida. Tiger and I talked to the sheriff in Tampa. He's going to be allowed to go to Palm Beach to play. I'll be honest, I've never played Tom very well on his home turf. And so maybe this is considered a neutral site, and I would have loved to have had this tournament in a place where they don't like Tom very much, Indianapolis, Denver, Boston, after he just betrayed them and broke their hearts. So Palm Beach is the best we can probably do. Look, I think the teams are fair. I think, you know, Phil chose the right partner and Tom together. You know, they have 11 championships. Tiger and I have 17, the way I count it, right, Tiger?
So, I mean, the only thing Peyton might be guilty of is having that written out.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like he's coming with it off the top of his head, but, you know, when you...
He was looking to break that. He like he came up with that joke and could not wait to get to that joke.
No.
Right? Like, the breaking and entering thing, it's hilarious. I love Peyton Manning.
Or the fact that he wished he could play him in a place where they don't like Tom, like Indianapolis, yeah. Denver.
I don't
Boston.
Know. It's going to be in Palm Beach. I wouldn't think they like Tom Brady in Palm Beach, given its proximity to Miami. But Miami's, you know, I mean, listen, they've had the blackout rule for
there,
playoff
right?
games. Yeah, I mean, it's not like they're loaded with angry Dolphin fans for the past 20 years. They can't even fill their stadium for playoff games.
Are there any? Is there such thing as an angry Dolphin fan or a Dolphin fan that hates the Patriots?
Yeah, I know. I don't know.
It's not the Jets.
It's not the Jets, and it's not Buffalo.
Yeah.
Right?
They hate the Patriots.
I know. Some of you Dolphin fans will get on me, but you know how it is.
I always get the feeling sometimes, too, that the Dolphins are kind of like the redheaded stepchild of the AFC East.
Yeah, right?
Because, you know.
And they won it. They have won the division within the Brady era.
Oh, of course.
You know?
But, I mean, you know, they can't commiserate with the Patriots, Jets, or Bills when, you know, it's wintertime.
Yeah, that's true.
And everyone, they're all, you know, complaining that it's bitter cold, weather stinks. You can't go outside, and the Dolphins are like, what are you guys talking about? You want a pina colada? Come on down.
We're wakeboarding and doing all this other fun stuff while the game is going on. So yeah, good point.
But speaking of bad weather, this leads to the bad of the day.
Yes.
Did you hear that the Northeast is bracing for a snowstorm this weekend?
I did, because my friends in New Hampshire are like, hey, man, this is, you know.
I mean, some places...
this?
Some places probably will only see a dusting. It'll be a lot of wet weather. But some could see up from 6 to 8 inches all the way up to a foot of snow.
A foot of snow
A foot
in
of
May?
Snow.
Wow.
Like a week and a half before Memorial Day weekend. Before you officially fire up the barbecue because it's summertime.
I'm going to have to ask my parents because I don't remember. And I lived in New Hampshire most of my life before. Was there ever a storm in May that left a foot of snow? We might have gotten one of those dustings. Where like, we had a cold front come in from the Arctic, and you know, you woke up and you're like, hey, look, it's snow in May. Wow. But it's gone. Like, a foot is a real deal. Like,
that's
real plowing and shoveling and all that other stuff.
For many places this weekend, for many of the cities in the Northeast, it'll be colder this weekend than it was Christmas Day.
Oh, boy. Wow. What is going on?
I don't know.
Because we're getting that in Tennessee. The other day, you know, yesterday, for example, I took my daughter to a doctor appointment and it was 65 degrees. And I'm like, shouldn't we be dying of heat stroke about now?
We're
where the humidity is supposed to make me want to cry and scream, why did I ever move here? Is that what it was? Like, this is supposed to be the touch of that kind of weather, but it was 65 degrees.
Yeah,
I wore a sweatshirt.
They're expecting this to shatter May snowfall records.
Wow.
Some cities that could see snow include Syracuse, Rochester, Binghamton, Albany, Scranton, Pennsylvania, Burlington, Vermont.
No kidding.
So, yeah, they're expecting, you know, it could be a dusting, but it could be up to 6 to 8 inches of snow. And they say some isolated areas, probably around Lake Ontario, because you get that lake effect snow.
Yeah.
They'll probably, some of those places could see a foot of snow.
See, you get this in Colorado because storms would come off the mountain really quick. And you'd be like, oh, it's May. We got a snowstorm. And then by lunchtime, it's gone.
Yeah.
Because it's 75 degrees outside.
This will stick around because it's going to be cold. I mean, you grew up there. Wasn't by this time of the year you guys already packed away your winter clothes?
Yeah, you kind of pack it away.
That's a thing.
Yeah,
I know that.
You pack it away, but you're still wearing sweatshirts. It's still a little cold, but spring is coming, and it's coming like with there's wetness from the snow melt, and it's starting to dry up, and you're starting to be able to play golf without slopping through mud. Like around this time, the black flies come out and. So it's gross, but yeah, this is when it starts to. Hey, all right, we're it's gone. It's you know, the remnants of it has disappeared. But yeah, no, snowstorm in May. I don't remember one as a child. Doesn't mean it didn't happen, but I don't remember one.
No, I know. Maybe you do remember the dusting though. You remember cold days, but you don't remember chance of there being a foot of snow.
I don't remember my mother breaking out these snow suits in May, going, "Kids, you got to wear these again, and I better see mittens on those hands and a wool cap."
I just wonder how many guys right now are going, "Oh man, where the snowblower? I buried it in the back because I didn't need it."
Exactly.
Now I gotta move all this junk out of the way to get to the snowblower again.
That's right. Have you ever used a snowblower?
No, I have not. I've lived in Southern California, Hawaii, and Houston.
Didn't you live in Western New York?
No.
No, okay.
No, my family was there.
Okay.
But I would just go and visit. Usually not in the wintertime.
You never went in the wintertime. Snowblowers
I mean, I
fun.
Did, but... You know, I never had to come across myself using a snowblower.
Snowblowers are not bad, man. They're kind of fun. You blast them up, create a big mountain. Like, whoa, it's kind of neat. But you don't want to do it in May.
Fun thing we might need to do. We might need to get Brian Barrett on the phone.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, how's that going? How's that going out there?
Just say, hey, Brian, we just wanted to have 2 minutes of you talking snow. Go.
All right, another bad or the dumb?
No, another bad. Okay. I'm sorry to do this to you, Tony, but I got to put it on Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh boy,
what did he do? No, his workout program.
Eat chips, walk, go eat, get more chips.
Well, you're familiar with TB12, correct?
Yep.
Yeah, TB12. I mean, you know, Tom Brady. I don't even know if there's meat involved. It's a lot of lean items to eat.
Boring.
Yeah, Ben Roethlisberger. Here's his workout program via Jay Glazer. His idea of a great off-season workout program is doing one yoga session, playing golf, and drinking some beer.
Good for him, man.
That's it.
Because he's 38 years old.
Yeah, but that's the entire workout program. Just one yoga sesh, some golf, and then drinking beer. Some beer, not a lot.
You know what? Good for him.
So I'm not saying I'm not saying that this is bad.
But it is if you're trying to make another run at a championship.
It is, but it also is, you know, maybe evil genius bad.
Yeah, see, that's the key, right? It's like, you know what? I'm not going to play until I'm 45.
Right? He's not trying to be Tom Brady.
I'm like I'm closing it out, baby. I'm closing it out strong.
He's sitting there going, I'm not TB12, I'm BR7.
No, I'm BR7, and I'm drinking beer and playing golf and doing a yoga session because I've got a couple more years left. I'm too old to be doing whatever Tom's doing on a daily basis because he's got something to prove in his 40s. I don't even want to be doing this in my 40s.
And the only reason why I'm doing yoga session is because of two words, yoga pants.
Yeah, yoga pants, right, exactly.
It's the only reason why I'm doing it.
All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day, real quick, the NFL power couple, Jay Cutler and Kristen Cavallari, are getting a divorce.
I know.
Where the dumb comes from is Cavallari's reasoning to divorce Jay Cutler.
Which is?
That he is lazy.
Oh, that's funny, because Josh McDaniels thought the same thing when he got to Denver.
Ah, there it is. Is that a real reason? Because if not, there's going to be a lot of single men out there.
That's right.
We can't allow this to set a precedent.
It's so funny. The other day I looked my quarantine worst, right? I had a shirt that had stains on it. I was in sweatpants that didn't even match the shirt I was wearing.
I got quarantine clothes that I come home, I change into.
My hair was a mess, right? I was eating a bowl of Cocoa Puffs standing up, and my wife came downstairs and she's getting ready for work, and she looked at me and I said, "You're really happy about this, right? I mean, like, you just see me and you're just like, I've made the right choice in life."
Drink it in.
Like, Lisa Bonet gets Jason Momoa and you come down to this slob. That's... Yeah, exactly. Oh, Jay Cutler. My God.
Yep.
He's one of a kind. Good, the bad, and the dumb on SB Nation Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. On Twitter, Michael, 25 years of growing up in Connecticut, it never snowed in May. Yeah, that's kind of what I thought.
Yeah.
So I kind of thought the same thing.
Brace yourself, New England. You might be getting some.
And by the way, we did get a message on our Facebook page that Miguel wants to wish everybody well through all this. So I wanted to pass that along because I thought that was nice.
That is nice.
A nice message telling all the listeners out there to be well and safe. So good. Thank you. Well, we are passing that along, my friend, because, you know, you wanted people to know.
So, yeah.
Snowing. What if the Red Sox were supposed to be on the field at this weekend? What if it was a big series with the Yankees that was scheduled for this weekend? And snow, they were going to be snowed out in May. Listen, when I was covering the Rockies, that was always a possibility. You'd be like, yeah, it could snow. And it would. Sometimes it would snow. And you'd be like, yeah, what are you going to do? Can't play baseball. I remember one time I was covering a Rockies doubleheader. And this is when the Rockies were terrible. I mean, absolutely atrocious. And they were playing the Pirates, who at the time were atrocious. And it was a doubleheader. And it was like icy, rainy, yeah, gross. And they had to play this doubleheader because the Pirates weren't coming back. And they certainly weren't coming back for two games, right? So they were like, we got to get this in. We have playable conditions. It's cold. It's misty. It's rainy. You know, it's a little icy. But that's okay. We can still play. It was so miserable. Don't get me wrong, I love going to the ballpark. I couldn't wait to get home. I mean, even in the press box, I was like, this is so atrocious. But that was the kind of weather that would force those kind of decisions. You're like, look, if you can get it in, it's gross, but look, do you really want this team to be flying in to play a game in the middle of August when we really don't want them? You know, two last place teams. Yeah, if this was going on in New England, it'd be like, oh, God, are you kidding me? There's a foot of snow here at Fenway Park, and we just got done making it look nice. Now, snow in May in New England. Murder hornets and coronavirus.